We thank God for the peaceful election that we just had recently. And now, the question is, after the election, what is next? What are we expecting as Christians from our leaders? There's so many issues going on around this nation, as we all know. Demonstrations, chaotic situation all over the place, as Dr. Oz sent an announcement message trying to stress what is happening and going on around the world. And as a Christian, what should be our responsibility? Or what should be, what we're supposed to do in order to also steer the affairs of the nation in peaceful manner and peaceful way? As we all know, last week there were so many scriptures that was being quoted to affirm what is happening and encourage people about the new government that we're going to have. And the most popular scriptures that was used was Romans chapter 13 verse 1, which we can read in our Bible. And I'm going to read from Romans chapter 13 verse 1 through 7. Romans chapter 13 verse 1 through 7. And he said, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good, but if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes. For the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to govern. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Now, there's no respect for authorities anymore. People are not afraid of the authorities anymore because the authorities does not respect the office that they occupy. The government does not respect its own authority. So how could a citizen respect the office that they occupy? This is what is going on right now, because people always look at whatever is happening at the top and take cue from that. If you're an authority and you don't respect your office, or you don't respect yourself, you don't expect the citizen to respect you as well. The passage that we just read, it will be impossible to summarize all that the Bible teaches about government in several paragraphs. And it is difficult to say anything at all about it without stirring up related questions. Of course, it does not help that many Christians are touched about politics than they are about the Lord Jesus Christ. For our purpose, the solution is to restrict ourselves to the main thrust of the passage that I just read. Paul makes a point here that does not always receive sufficient emphasis. It is the Christian basic stance toward the government. The apostles were united in commanding submission to the government, which we can read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 to 17. And Luke's account of their ministries, they often made it a point to assure the authorities of their compliance, even as they stood firm for their message concerning God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is worth noting that they did not operate under some civic paradise, but a government that was less than righteous, efficient, and compassionate. Yet they instructed the believers to submit to the government at that time. Paul offers two reasons for this. The first reason is a theological basis for submission. When you read the first passage of the scripture that we read, there's no authority except that which God has established. This does not mean that every government do exhibit justice and holiness. And indeed, the opposite often appears to be the case. Herod and Pilate were no perfect leaders after all, but they were leaders that people have to submit to. Emperor Nero, as we all know or heard about, he ruled the Roman Empire from AD 54 to 68. He became an emperor when he was 17 years old. He was extremely cruel and insane leader who was believed to mastermind the Great Fire in Rome. If you have read about the Great Fire in Rome, he was the emperor at that time, but he masterminded the Great Fire in Rome simply because he wanted to extend his palace. So he caused the fire to burn almost half of Rome in order to take advantage of the situation to persecute Christians and also expand his palace. And that fire led to the systematic persecution and killings of Christians. Even many Christians at that time view him as the Antichrist. They thought he is the Antichrist because of his lifestyle and persecution. In fact, when Paul wrote this letter that we just read to the believers in Rome, Nero was in power, and yet he exhorted the Christians to submit to Nero's authority, because that authority was ordained by God himself. Apostle Paul means that God is the one who has established the institution of human government, and the one who providentially installs each official to serve his own divine purpose. We may not know or understand the reason why God allows some leaders to become leaders or president. Even King Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian monarch, was called God's servant when he was sent to slaughter and enslave the Jews. You can read it in Jeremiah 25, verse 9. Nebuchadnezzar was called God's servant. Could you imagine that? He was God's servant not in the sense that he worshipped God the Father, but instead, he was used by God to fulfill his purpose. As in the case of Cyrus the Great, a Persian king who was called the Lord's Anointed, which we can also read in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 1. Cyrus was not a Jew either, yet God used him to fulfill his purpose. In any case, God has established the institution of human government, and therefore, Christians are to submit to it. And the second reason Paul stresses contains an element of practical concerns. If you do wrong, the government will punish you. If you are punished because you are a thief, a murderer, a rapist, then you deserve to be punished. If you do not wish to be punished, then you don't commit a crime. It's as simple as that. Paul seems to have in mind an ideal government that rewards good and punishes evil. But his intent is to stress on submission and not to work out the issue from every angle. Peter also teaches the same doctrine. But since his subject includes suffering and not only submission, he also recognizes the possibility of unjust punishment. Peter said, "Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed." You can find it in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 to 14. Even then, Peter does not teach rebellion, but submission to the government. In another place, Peter also writes, "However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name as Christians." So then, those who suffer according to God's word should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. You can also read this in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16 and 19. The conclusion is that we must submit to the government because of conscience. Because of what? Conscience. Which literally means an urge to do right. That is all it means by submitting to government. That is what, as a Christian, we should submit to the government because of what? Conscience. An urge to do right. Not only because it's our civic duty, but also it's our spiritual duty before God. Since God is the one who has established the institution of government. Also, the government has the power to punish offenders. This is also why Christians must pay taxes and render to authorities what is owed. In some instances, it is common for Christians to criticize the government, to lament the loss of religious liberty, to complain about excessive taxation, and impose curriculum in schools, so on and so forth. We have the liberty to also lament and complain about that. Although many times our efforts might be better be directed elsewhere, this is not forbidden as long as it is performed in a legal manner and restrained. And the apostle again worked with the laws of the land at the time to facilitate their work. But unlike many in our day, they did not lose their focus on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even more important than taking advantage of existing laws is to declare the Christian basic stance towards the government. And that is one of the submission Paul is talking about. The Christian approach to spreading the religion of Jesus Christ consists in communication, in speaking and writing, and in charitable deeds, as UCG, our church, has been doing by communicating through our Beyond Today television program and in print through our magazine, Beyond Today magazine, our booklets, and so on and so forth. And we also do charitable deeds. Some of my ABC alumni have been sent to Latin America, in Colombia and other places, to also offer voluntary services to the needy through the assistance of LifeNet by helping some of the students to learn the English language, by helping people to dig boreholes, build houses, and so on and so forth. So these are some of the deeds our church also offer. We talk and we help. That is our policy. We will talk and at the same time I help. We must make it a point to affirm both to the government and to believers as well. As Christians, our method should condemn violence and subversion against government authorities that has been going on around the country. People have taken advantage of the election and causing confusion, looting, destruction, and all that. As a Christian, we have to speak against that and condemn that. And also speak against any authority or a leader who say or does things inimical to humanity that brings conflict of interest. We have the liberty to also speak against that too. When we are condemning people on the street for destructions and showing disrespect to authorities and all that, we should also bear in mind to also speak against authorities or leaders who say or does things inimical to humanity. That brings conflict of interest in society. Because as Christians, we represent the salt of the earth and the light of the world.